Hello, and welcome to the Escape Plan Podcast. Whether you have an existing online business or are just starting out, we show you how to plan your escape in 6 easy steps. Ready to learn and implement those simple steps? Here are your hosts, Tim Goodwin and Mark Thompson, to show you how.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Escape Plan Podcast with me, Mark Thompson, and sat next to me for a change, my good friend Tim Goodwin.
Hello.
Hi, Tim.
Hello.
What's the weather like where you are today?
Probably the same as here. It's raining.
Yeah, so Tim's come to visit, so we're going to do a couple of podcasts today. Sat side by side like two Muppets.
See, one of the great things with actually sat next to Mark is I can actually see whether he's picking his nose whilst we're recording these podcasts.
Or falling asleep.
One or the other, I'm not quite sure.
Right, so today we want to talk about something we've actually touched on before, but we want to go more in depth with it. And this is how to use your customer lists. Now, it doesn't matter if you've got a blog that gets 1,000 visitors a day, or you've just got a blog that you set up 2-3 months ago and you've had 5 visitors a day. You have got a customer list. And the power of marketing, the power in this method of marketing, is actually identifying those customers and segmenting them. So this is what we're going to talk about today. So come on, Tim, let's start us off.
I think it's more a question of segmentation is a huge part of this process, and whether you've not actually made a sale yet, so you've not got a actual customer or not, doesn't really matter. What you're trying to identify from the visitors to your website is who's most likely to buy from you. And you can look for clues on that from your Google Analytics, for how long somebody's on your site for, how far they've scrolled down a page, and all that kind of stuff. And that's quite complicated and confusing, and I don't really want to kind of get too deep into that. What I want to kind of identify first is who are the most likely people to buy your thing right now, right this minute. Yeah. And one of the best ways is finding out who's bought from you before, because if they've bought from you before, they've given you money, they've handed over, they've trusted you enough to hand over cash, they're most likely the people who are going to hand over cash again. So the problem is a lot of people have a list of buyers, and they go, they've got a big bucket full of buyers. And the problem with that is that not all buyers are created equal. There are going to be some buyers who are very hot prospects, people who buy everything that you get, and then there's people who've bought just once and refunded and all that kind of stuff. And those are the kind of people you want to eliminate, whilst at the same time, identifying the ones who bought lots and lots and lots. And if you can find your best buyers, then if you've got a product that is an obvious consumable, then you can sell to them again. Yep. And you can send an email today and make sales. It's as simple as it gets. Or if you don't have a consumable product and you've got something which is a one-off or a subscription program, then literally they go, well, okay, create something new and sell that new thing to them. So those are the things that I would identify first. Those are the lowest hanging fruit as far as making sales. Now, there's lots of other things you can do with this, which we'll get into in a minute.
Yeah. So for example, you've got a blog. You succeed, but it's a new blog. You've got 5 articles on it. Who do you think is going to be the person most likely to buy whatever you're promoting or whatever product you want to sell? Is it the guy that comes to your blog, reads one article and leaves after a minute? Or is it the guy that comes to your blog, reads one article, moves on to another article that goes slightly in depth about the product, and then maybe goes to a third page where you talk about the benefits of the product? Okay? Obviously, it's going to be the guy who's been to 3 pages. So you're probably thinking, well, how can I market to him? If you have things like retargeting pixels set up, you can set up an advert that may only fire once every week, but it's firing to somebody who's been to page A plus page B plus page C. Okay, so you're going to spend 16 cents or something a week, but the person who's going to see the ad is going to be the person most likely to buy. And so you're not going to have a big ad budget. So it's not like you're targeting everybody who's been to your site, which is, in which case you're probably spending 116 cents a week, right? You're just going to spend 116 cents and show the person most likely to buy. And that's how you can start off, even with a brand new blog. And personally, this is what I recommend anyone would do. And this is what we're doing right this minute. So it's one of the reasons Tim's here, apart from going off mountain biking somewhere. We're just looking at how we can implement this successfully on our assets. So yes, that's one of the ways of starting.
I suppose the technicality to this, and this is the bit that confuses most people or worries most people.
And it's why most people won't do it.
Yeah.
And therefore the people who do do it are more likely to succeed.
There's some real smart stuff that you can do with Google Analytics in terms of creating an audience based upon how many pages they've read,
yeah,
or how many pages or how many clicks they've made, or how much time on the site. You can create an audience based upon that, the people who've visited three or more pages, or who've spent more than 5 minutes on your site.
Or the people who read two pages and then went to your About Us page.
Yes.
How likely would they be to buy if they invested enough to find out more about you?
So here's the thing. Like with Facebook, you can do quite granular stuff. If you've only got a handful of articles, say for example, I have a couple of blogs which literally just have one blog post on them. However, if I can identify the top audience, the people who have spent the longest on that page, or looked at that page and then looked at another page, like the only other page that's on the whole entire website, those are much, much more likely to become my buyers. So it makes sense for me to remarket to those people. Again, quite easy to set up once you figure out how to use audiences within Facebook.
Yeah. And the other thing that, when you think about this, right, so you go online and let's say you go to a site, you go to Amazon, for example, and you look at a new torch at Amazon. Have you ever noticed when, wherever you go, if you go to Facebook, you've got an advert for that torch. If you go to Google, you've got an advert for that torch. You've got a website, you've got an advert for that torch. If you go to YouTube, you've got an advert for that torch. Okay? So you see that and you go, yeah, well, that's because Amazon are big. It doesn't take very much, just a little bit of an organization, for even a one-man business with a budget of $10 a day to actually run retargeting ads on all the places that a potential client goes. And that, if you've got your branding unique or replicated across all those adverts, they're suddenly going to think that this one-man band must be a really big, reliable company, because everywhere they go, I've seen Tim's advert everywhere I go today. He must be really like making money. It's not difficult to replicate what the big brands do, and it's not expensive.
Yeah. Certainly for things like, you know, Google AdWords, retargeting using, everybody thinks Facebook first, unfortunately, in this day and age. And there's with the ad costs going up, people are going to have to start thinking a little bit more laterally. But with Google AdWords, you know, creating a new retargeting campaign on Google AdWords is actually really, really simple and stupidly low cost.
Yeah.
Because ultimately you're paying per click. And if you've only got an audience of 1,000 people who've come to your website, you know, and you can limit, you can cap the number of times that somebody would see your advert each day. So normally I would set up an ad frequency or a cap it at 3 visits per day per person. So my ads isn't pissing people off, basically. Oh no, I've sworn.
Sorry, iTunes.
so you can limit the number of times that your ad is being shown, and ultimately for 1,000 people, you're going to spend no more than maybe £1 or £2 or dollars or whatever currency you're in.
Yeah.
You're not going to spend very much more than that per day, because there's not going to be many people clicking on it.
Yeah.
However, you're not trying to make those campaigns convert directly. And this is the bit that people get really, they go, oh yeah, well, I've been spending like hundreds of dollars on my remarketing, but it doesn't convert. And it's like, well, no, you're not trying to convert that particular campaign. It's, you know, attribution is a really horrible, dirty word, and it's a really confusing subject for most people. What's more important is you're getting exposure. It's a part of the overall cost of marketing to acquire somebody. Somebody may see your ad on Facebook, visit your website, look at the blog post one, blog post two, and then disappears off your site. And now you're remarketing to them for very, very cheap amounts day in, day out for 30 plus days. And then they go, oh, they see another Facebook ad, or maybe they do a search for you and they find you on Google Organic, or they'll find you on your Facebook page again. That's where the attribution will happen, but it's because they've seen you all over the internet in the intervening time. That's the bit that's actually going to make the biggest difference.
Yeah. Well, you look at holiday companies. Holiday companies advertise all year long on the internet, online, on TV. So you see all the TV adverts. Not many people are actually going to go on holiday the day they see the advert. They're just trying to get into people's minds and stay front of mind for the whole year. So at that moment when they do commit to buying a holiday, they think about the holiday company.
So I like to think, and this is maybe something, you know, to try and put some of it into more practical terms, I like to break my audiences up into, and kind of rank them to a certain degree by how important they are to me. So taking from the very top, who is my most valuable list member? So rather than just chunking all of my customers, my existing customers together as one, okay, I go, so everybody who spent over £500 with me, okay, that's my biggest, baddest audience. They're awesome. I'm going to use that audience really, like, I'm going to treat them like gold dust. I'm going to create all my best lookalike audiences based upon those customers to find more customers just like them. And if I've got something new, I will market to them first. The next level down from that is, okay, those people who spent between £100 and £500. And then again, I create some lookalike audiences. I also mark, they're the second level of audience that I would market new products to. They're the people that I'm trying to encourage to join my subscription program, so on and so forth. So I have a different campaign based upon that. And then we move to those who've just bought once from me. Okay, they're my lowest quality customer. But at the same time, I'm still marketing to them to try and convert them to become a repeat customer. So again, you've got a very specific marketing for that particular customer list. You can then take each of those lists, and as I say, you can plug them into Facebook, you can plug them into Google and create your lookalike audiences in Facebook and your similar audiences within Google. And it's important you do both, okay? Yeah. So that's your customer list, people who've bought from you before. The next stage down from that is what I would call my subscribers. So people who've subscribed to a list, okay, and are reading my emails on a regular basis. So they're opening stuff and they're reading stuff on a regular basis. That's the next level, that's the next quality of list person that I have. Again, I'm creating lookalike audiences and similar audiences. I'm using that, that information to create campaigns to try and convert them to become a customer, okay? Below that, I have people who've become subscribers but haven't opened my stuff in a while, okay? They may be not such great quality, you know, as the people who are reading my stuff. They may be the people that I want to either ignore or delete off my list entirely because they're just not reading my emails. I don't care about them. Then you've got the website visitors, and this is where it starts getting like really wide, and you can get, as Mark has already alluded to, and it's like, okay, so you've got website visitors, and you've got website visitors who visited three or more pages on your website, okay? Those people you can then stick into a remarketing list, you know, which you can do both on Google and on Facebook again. And you're marketing to them in a specific way to either make them become a subscriber or a buyer. And then you've got people who've only visited your site once and have dropped off your website within 30 seconds. You go, well, I don't want to market to those people. Yeah. So you exclude them from your marketing, your remarketing. You also want to create a lookalike audience based upon people who visited your website but have disappeared after 30 seconds. You want to create a lookalike audience of all people who are like that to exclude them from your marketing. It becomes a massive minefield. But even if you take, you know, go back and listen to that segment again, and you get, make sure you write down those different segments that you want to create, and then go away and create lookalike audiences based upon that. And that gives you a whole, you know, raft of different marketing campaigns you can put together.
Yeah. And you probably think to yourself, well, why would I go to all that trouble to do that? Now, let me tell you, the cost for me getting, or us getting a lead for SMO is probably about $3.50.
Yeah.
So we're paying $3.50 to get a lead. Now, not all those leads are going to convert. Okay, in fact, a very small percentage of those leads will probably convert. So it's costly.
Mm.
Okay. Last week, when I got back from Mexico.
You were in Mexico.
Did you know?
You haven't mentioned that much.
No, I've got 10 more podcasts to mention that one. when I got back, I started running a retargeting campaign. And that retargeting campaign was going to about 15 to 20 people. Okay? It cost me $25 for over the weekend. And I made considerably more in sales than $25. It was a very successful campaign. But it was successful, not because I was doing the whole broad brush, let's market to everybody who's been to the blog, which is what
most people do.
Yeah, and what I've done in the past. Mm. Oh, someone's been to the blog, let's retarget them. I retargeted to only the small group of people who I'd identified as people most likely to purchase. And it worked incredibly well. And it, as I said, cost me $25. What would you rather do? Spend $300 a month trying to get 10 to 100 leads or whatever, and then convert 10% of those? Or would you rather spend $2 a day and actually make one retargeting sale a day? And it gives you so many ways to actually use your money and scale up when you're doing that.
So even if you do nothing else other than very basic sort of segmentation process of going, okay, who are my best customers, who are my worst customers, and take that split. So you want to get more of the best customers and less of the shitty ones. Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, Apple, sorry.
The same, you do the same with your subscribers. The subscribers who are opening your emails regularly versus those who aren't opening them at all. So you want to get more of the subscribers who open your emails regularly and less of the ones that you aren't. Yeah. And the same with website visitors. You go, who are my best website visitors and who are my worst website visitors? And then go forward from there. That's about as basic as you need to go with this. Oh, sorry, advanced as you need to get with this to start with. You can get more clever later on. But once you get a taste for identifying, the top level customers, top level subscribers, top level website visitors, and multiplying that as the effect of those people, your marketing will become much, much more optimized. You're not throwing so much crap at the wall, and seeing what sticks. You're basically gradually increasing the quality of the people who are coming into your stuff. And the sales will increase, and the number of quality sales will increase, and that's the most important thing. That's what we're trying to get across with this whole podcast.
Oh, you're so old fashioned.
Webcast.
Did you go on the internet?
The internet.
So you're probably thinking, where do I start on this? So let's pick Joe Bloggs. He's got a list of 2,000 people. He's got an email list of 2,000 people. He's got Push Crew on his blog. And maybe he's got 500 people on Push Crew.
Yeah.
And he's got a chatbot, and he's managed to get 200 people on chatbot. If he created a blog post about, closely related to the product he was selling, and he sent the email out to the list, and he did his push notification, and he did a message to his chatbots, a percentage of all those lists would come to that blog post. Those are the people you retarget. That new custom audience that you've generated when you've sent out all those messages, you build a lookalike audience of those. You build a lookalike audience of the people who buy. And you ramp up the amount you spend on getting the new buyer's lookalike audience to the article. And it's like a snowball effect.
Yep, self-perpetuating thing. We've got a campaign at the moment for Lean Greens. We're sending people to a lead capture for our nutrition program. And previously, what I've been doing is when I started it, I was running a lookalike audience of our best buyers, so that they were sent to the nutrition program. So a lookalike to the nutrition program, and people were opting into that. Now we've got close on 1,000 people who've subscribed to the nutrition program. I've now created a lookalike audience of the people who've opted in, to that nutrition program, I've then created a brand new campaign or brand new ad set. So instead of spending all my money on the lookalike audience of existing buyers, it's a lookalike audience of people who've already opted into the nutrition program. That's going to improve the quality of people, the people who are more likely to opt into that list. And that's really what I'm looking for. And you see, I'll keep on refreshing it. And now because I've got the dynamic updating of the custom audience and the list, it's like it will gradually improve itself. Every time somebody new gets added to my email list, it'll improve the base list, and then it'll improve the lookalike list.
Yeah. Right. So what I want to do now, this is about 20 minutes into this. Okay. If you're listening to this and you're going, wow, I can't believe how great that is.
Yeah, this is the challenge.
So yeah, if you actually understand this and you think this is amazing, great. Go back, listen to it again. Okay. Get it set in your head and take action. If you're thinking, what are those two idiots talking about? I haven't got a clue. Well, come to the Lifestyle the Minimalist Marketer Facebook group. Reach out to us and we'll explain it. We'll do a live video. We'll do a live chat about it. Okay? We're here to help people. We want everybody to wake up every morning and go, I know exactly what I have to do.
Yeah.
And this is the stuff that makes sales. It's not all the other bullshit. It's not building... Sorry, Apple. It's not building... funnels, building a funnel is not going to make you a single cent.
No.
Okay? Doing stuff like this will make you money. So this is what we want to get across. So, I recommend if this is sort of piqued your interest, go back and listen to it again. Okay? Come to...
Minimalist
Marketer Facebook group. If you're really, really desperate to really do stuff, come to Serious Marketers Only. Come and check us out. We talk about this all day, every day. Okay? But if it doesn't make any sense to you, just carry on listening to the podcast. When we hit a raw nerve, then you'll know it's time to come and do some more. And that is exactly what we've been talking about.
Yay!
Right, guys.
We've basically, in that last 3-minute segment, Mark has literally just segmented our audience.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about what we've just said. We've segmented into 3 groups.
Yeah. It's almost like we planned it and we didn't. Right, guys. Have a great week. Speak to you later. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Escape Plan Podcast. For show notes and resources, head over to escapeplanuncut.com.